this court has upheld the Affordable Care Act in the past. Do you think they're poised to uphold it again in King v. Burwell, and that they've just accepted this case to provide some type of clarity?
I have no idea what they're going to do in this case. And there's really no way to have told from the oral argument. The court, by a 5-4 vote, upheld the Affordable Care Act against a constitutional challenge. This is a statutory challenge saying that 34 states do not have the right to have exchanges because they're not set up by the states. They're set up by the federal government. And if the challengers were to prevail in this case, somewhere between 6 and 8 million people would lose their subsidies and lose their health insurance in all likelihood. And, you know, for Republicans, that may be sort of like the dog that caught up with the car. Not fun, because suddenly they have to do something about it. On the other hand, for Democrats, it's not fun either, because they don't have an alternative. And as I said, I have not a clue how it's going to turn out.
So, I mean, there's a lot of very serious financial implications for the people who might no longer get subsidies. That's, again, 6 to 8 million Americans. That's 1.3 million Floridians. When faced with such kind of serious and potentially dire outcomes for people, what options does the court have in attacking this issue? Is there an approach that you saw in the oral arguments that might be an alternative to, like, a full affirmation or full denying of these subsidies?
They're either going to say this law wasn't perfectly written by Congress, and it actually says that they have to be state exchanges in order to qualify for subsidies. Or they'll say the clear purpose of the law was that states would set up these exchanges, and if they didn't, that the federal government would come in the place of the states and run state exchanges. And in fact, most of the 34 states that do not have state exchanges are Republican run, but not all of them. Some of them are Democratic run, and they had trouble setting up their exchanges and asked the feds to come in. And others are joint operations with the federal government. Now, if they were to do the first, that is to say they're null and void, it's conceivable that they'd allow some period of time to let Congress fix it. But if you do what I do and you follow Republican, there doesn't seem to be a clear majority of Republicans that favor any one proposal. There isn't any consensus about how to fix it. And most Republicans hate Obamacare enough that it's not at all clear to me that there would be an acceptable fix.
Does this affect the debate going on in states that are looking at this? Right now in Florida, we're debating whether or not to establish our own exchanges. How much do you think that this should have a bearing on those conversations?
Well, I suppose some states might want to set up their own exchanges if their own people are threatened with losing their health insurance in a fairly precipitous way. On the other hand, it's very difficult to set up those exchanges very quickly. You remember what happened in the first round when Obamacare was first set up, and it sort of blew up computer-wise, and people had a terrible time signing up, and it didn't work right away. These are very complex programs to set in place, and it can't just be done overnight.
So I want to switch gears quickly to the Obergefell versus Hodges same-sex marriage case. So in that case, there's two major issues. One is the question if there is an absolute right everywhere in the country that same-sex couples can marry. And then the second one is whether states have to recognize those marriages performed elsewhere. What are the chances that they rule that there isn't a constitutional right, but they do have to recognize other states? What are the chances of that split vote coming down?
Well, I suppose that there is a possibility of that. But if they decide the first question, which is there a constitutional right to marry for same-sex couples, and the court says yes, there's no point in answering the second question because you don't need to. Same-sex marriage would be the law of the land. If, on the other hand, they say for some reason there isn't a right to marry for same-sex couples, then the next question is, well, in those 37 states where marriage is legal for same-sex couples, do those marriages have to be recognized as legal marriages? After all, they were performed in states where they were legal. When those people move or travel through or do business in one of the states where same-sex marriage is not legal, do those non-legal states have to recognize the legal status of the marriages performed in states where they're legal? So to give you an analogy, if getting married is at the age of 14 is legal in, I don't know, I'm making this up, Georgia, mm-hmm. let's say, and it's not legal until you're 16 or 17 or 18 in New York, would New York have to recognize the marriage from Georgia that was consummated at the age of 14? And the answer to that has always been yes. So I think it's likely that the Supreme Court would say, yes, you're going to have to recognize those marriages. But I'm not at all sure they'll even get to question two.
That seems that there would be a lot of kind of practical headaches. Is that something that they ever consider when making these rulings, the kind of how do you actually implement this ruling?
Well, yeah, which is what would argue more for a national ruling. And it's also the reason that so many large Fortune 500 businesses weighed in pretty heavily asking the Supreme Court to recognize same-sex marriage throughout the country as a fundamental constitutional right. But that doesn't mean they're going to do it.
There was a lot of talk about the reluctance of the court to rule on this issue. Why was that? And do you think that's going to affect the way they try and tackle the issue?
Well, there are two ways to look at this. The court declined to even look at this issue at all and let stand lots of appellate court rulings that legalized same-sex marriage in lots of states over the course of 2014. And it declined to look at any of those cases and, as I said, left them in place, left those rulings in place. Finally, when one court of appeals ruled the other way, upholding the ban on same-sex marriage in Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Michigan, there was a conflict in the circuits. And at that point, the court really had to look at this issue. And that's when it granted that case. That is the test case that's before the Supreme Court. And that's why they're having to look at it now. They couldn't just sort of leave these totally conflicting decisions in place.
Any predictions on that one?
Well, I think the weight of the evidence suggests that the Supreme Court will probably uphold the right to marriage for same-sex couples. But the weight of the evidence doesn't mean it's at all an absolute. And I've made a living by never predicting with any certainty how a decision was going to come out. And I have done quite well by not doing that and not looking entirely stupid afterwards when the court does something totally different than what I or many other people expected.
Of course. The midazolam case, the
lethal injection
case. That I've found that to be the most curious case. I've never seen a Supreme Court ruling potentially be so narrow. Is that something that strikes you as odd as well? You've done it a lot longer than I have.
No, because what the court held a number of years ago is that it ruled that as long as lethal injection is relatively benign, it's not cruel and unusual punishment. But the drug that made it relatively benign is not made in the United States anymore. The anesthesia drug that was used in the three-drug cocktail, that's not available in the United States from a U.S. manufacturer anymore. And European manufacturers, both because the European Union doesn't have capital punishment and frowns upon capital punishment, both because of that, for PR reasons, and because they get leaned on by activists, all of those reasons, the Europeans don't want to sell those drugs to us. The drugs that make it a relatively benign procedure are not easily available anymore. And you saw that. You saw recently that Nebraska voted to get rid of capital punishment against the wishes of the Republican governor. The Republican legislature voted to get rid of capital punishment. And the reason was because it's so hard to get the drugs that make it clearly a constitutional way of executing someone. And it costs a bundle of money to defend these cases.
Yeah.
You have to be in court forever. I don't know what the average length of time is between a death sentence and actual execution, but it's a very long time. And many people never make it to the execution, even though they may have been sentenced to death.
Yeah.
So the question is whether this is something the state wants to spend its money on.
Mm-hmm.
And Nebraska decided, at least for now, that it didn't. So that tells you something about where this whole conversation is. I really don't remember a time in this country's history when capital punishment, even though it's still approved by a majority of people, was more a subject of discussion and on many different fronts. Some of that's because our crime rate is relatively low. If the crime rate were to skyrocket up, it might be very different.
Mm.
That's the last time that the approval of capital punishment went way up was during the crack epidemic, when there was a very high violent crime rate in the country. And that's not true at the moment.
Right.
So we'll just have to wait and see.
Do you think that's going to come out next week?
The following week. I expect the term to be over by the end of June or very, very early July. And some of the most important cases of the term will undoubtedly be left to the end. Again, based on not much other than what I heard at the oral argument and the history of people's votes, you know, the suggestion was by many members of the court, perhaps a majority, and not clear to me whether it was a majority, that if there's a predicament in executing people, it's the result of opponents of the death penalty making it very difficult to obtain the drugs to make it so that it's not cruel and unusual punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And that will factor into their decision. But it's going to be a close vote.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you again for talking with you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.